When you look at hardworking artists in the Australian music scene, it's hard to look past Brendan Tuckerman, the man known as Tucker, as part of the popular hip-hop outfit Fundamentals, of course, who toured extensively after their last album. Tucker then went on to support radio horror shows Listen Close Tour and then released his third album, Life, Death, Time Eternal, one of my top five albums of 2015, for sure. Tucker has been touring almost non-stop since the release of that album and just 2 weeks ago released a new EP featuring reworked versions of the tracks from that album. He's found the time in his hectic schedule to come on past 2SER for a bit of a chat. Tucker, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you in the studio. You must be busy. You're just sort of always on the road doing stuff, recording stuff. Yeah.
This is true. This is true. Very busy at the moment.
But it's great to have you down here at 2SER again. You said you've been in a few times over the years, so welcome back.
Definitely, definitely. Love this place.
Cool. Well, you've got a new live EP out, and it sort of popped up out of nowhere for me. Like, I didn't realize it was coming out, and then all of a sudden, oh, here's a new EP coming out, all these live sessions and stuff. You recorded it in one day. So what spurred you to re-record some tracks from your last album and then bring it out like that?
I guess the main thing was just response from people that listen to my music. A couple of years ago, when I dropped my second album, Feedback Loop, I did, like, acoustic versions of some of the songs, and pretty much since then I've just had like an ongoing traffic of messages saying, oh, could you do this kind of stuff more. And so going into Life, Death, Time Eternal, when I was making the record, I was like, I should probably try to do something acoustic and revisit these songs live, more or less for like internet content that people can like check out, but also I thought I'd package it up this time and sell it as a EP. And so, yeah, like you said, we did it in one day down at 301 Studios Sydney.
Yep.
And I got heaps of my mates, and it was a rad day. And yeah, thankfully we got it all in one take most of the time.
Well, I mean, I suppose if you book the studios at 301, you want to, you can't muck around. You got to get it all done in one day. But
yeah, I was stoked we got all six done.
Yeah. So you said you brought some friends along for this. Of course, you can watch this as well on YouTube. You can go to a Live, Death, Time Eternal Sessions and check out.
That's right, yeah.
Check out some live footage of you know, you recording these tracks. So the live footage you see, is that actually when you recorded those actual tracks as well? So
yeah, I think there's six songs and we've released four so far, yep. And we'll release another two videos. So yeah, it was crazy, like recording visuals as well, like this. There was like 20 people, 30 people in the room. Like everyone had to be like queued,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. Big juggling act on that day, for real.
So who have you got on this? Who's singing along with you on these tracks?
I got Left. Jono
just played. Yep.
Yeah, you just played their song Jungle. Jono helped me with the arrangement, and he helped me with the like writing the score for the violins and strings and stuff, and yeah, a whole bunch of friends that I just know around Sydney, I guess, all chipped in. Like, we got a sitar player, Rosie, You're Beautiful, and my homie Vinny, Albie, lots of Sydney musicians.
Sweet.
It was dope.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you would have, over the years, met and connected with so many amazing musicians here locally in town that I'm sure if you just asked them to come and do a live recording, if you jumped at the chance.
Well, they were crazy. We only did one run rehearsal.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't had a lot of time. So, like, I kind of put it together December last year. It all just, like, crammed it. And we only got one day rehearsal in. So, I was stoked that they all nailed their parts and stuff. And, yeah, I have been jamming in Sydney for so long. But you also kind of lose a bit of connection with the local scene when you're touring a lot. And it was actually really good to be back in Sydney after touring doing the last tour on the solo vibe, just to kind of reconnect and play with musicians from Sydney again.
Yeah.
Being behind a desk or like playing club shows all the time is really dope, but playing like live with everyone contributing like one part of the music,
yeah,
like
yeah.
A band, it's just a different kind of energy, which I really feed off.
Yeah, and you must love touring. Obviously, you're saying you've been doing so much of it lately. I was really interested to know, like, what does typical touring, typical show entails for you? Like, how do you prepare? You know, is there some sort of ritual you go through before you sing and play? You know, is there anything you specifically do?
The shows are different between like solo shows and Tucker shows. Okay. I guess with the Thunder shows, they're clubby, and we played DJ set potentially, well, most of the time. And like, I guess it's really high energy, so I kind of jump around and I stretch before I get on. I'll even have some scotch or something. with the Tucker stuff, it's like a different vibe. It's with the live musicians and stuff, and yeah. I kind of just warm into it. It's a bit more like personal or something, mm-hmm. and so I don't jump around quite as much, I guess, with the solo stuff. But I'm trying to make them different. Like it's a juggling act, and I don't want the solo thing and the fundamentals to appear like it's the same thing. So I'm constantly trying to think of ways to how to perform it differently and sure. that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to ask you about that because I'm always intrigued when a solo artist comes out of a group and how you're writing stuff for yourself, for Tucker, and then you've got stuff, obviously, you're thinking about and you go, oh, that'll be work better with fundamentals. You know, how do you separate that? How do you decide which is going to go where?
I guess I just write a lot of songs.
Yeah.
The writing process with the solo stuff is really different to the fundamental stuff because yeah. we have in-house producers for fundamentals, Morgs and Poncho. They just write like hundreds of beats. Okay. And so you pick the ones that you're really feeling and you contribute. It's like I'm a cog in the machine. Like I contribute a top line and a song to an idea that's already there.
Okay.
Whereas with the Tucker stuff, it's like sometimes I'll just write the whole thing in my head and I'll just find someone that can nut it out with me in a day and it's already written. So it's really kind of measured quite differently, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of thought, I think from the last Fundamentals album, you know, there was some quite personal songs on there, I feel, for you and Jeswan. Like, do you feel that the personal stuff is better on Tucker stuff, or do you like tying that in with the Thunder stuff?
I guess it's where our values and our ideologies, when they line up, we can talk about personal things.
Hmm.
You know, obviously, me and Jess are the songwriters for Thunders, and we don't have exactly the same views, or you know, there might be something that happens in my life and vice versa that, you know, we're not as well versed to talk about as the other.
Yeah.
So I guess that there is a bit of consideration in that sense, but for the most part, like we can write about anything. And I think it's just like at the time and the environment, what I'm writing to is what comes out. So yeah. like, I guess I'm off cycle with this Tucker album. Like we did our thing last year and now I'm writing in Thunder's world and I'm just infatuated by writing with Thunder's now. So it's like, I can't think of what Tucker would do. I'm thinking in this machine of it, I guess.
You're crossing over back onto the Thunder side of things. Oh, we'll have to ask about that a bit later on. But now something I want to talk about is synesthesia. This is something that really interests me. It's a phenomenon where stimulation of one sensory pathway leads to the automatic involuntary experience and a second pathway. Now, in your case, I believe you see colors that associate with the sounds that you hear. Can you tell us a bit how this works, and if it's sort of like a involuntary thing that you just can't, you know, does it just happen? Like,
yeah, it's a bit weird to explain.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's just like my brain is just wired up something strange, yeah. and so
it's
when
unique, I reckon. Unique.
It really helps with songwriting because, like, I'll hear a chord progression or a riff or like a texture of a sound. It's usually just not one sound. Like I need a group of sounds or, like I said, a chord progression or a riff. And I'll immediately just kind of like feel what the color is or kind of see it in my mind, what the color is. It's like, you know, and sometimes it's really strong, like an emerald green or like a particular color.
Yeah, right.
And it helps me in terms of once I'm know what color this or the song is, like I can immediately connect that to a mood and then a theme. And then when, as the song progresses and you write changes or you like add bits to that song, I kind of try to retain that original color. So if a new idea comes in and just say, like, it sounds crazy, but oh, that's putting a bit of yellow in there and I don't like that, I'll go, no, we're not going to use that sound. We're going to just like just keep on this emerald green thing.
Well, this is why your album flows so well, because I mean, Life, Death, Time, Eternal, it really just flows beautifully. You have to listen to the whole thing in one go, I reckon. The album as an album works so
yeah well. I wrote it as an album rather yeah. than just songs,
and that idea of colors and you sort of imagine that sort of flow as you go through the album, it works really well.
Yeah, I was trying to write a record that you could actually just put on and chill out to. Like, a lot of my last records are like, I've got something to prove and you've got to like
really like be attentive and this is going to be shocking or whatever. Whereas this one, I just really wanted like a landscape just to kind of go over you or a movie just to pass through.
So
I didn't want any jarring colors like slapping each, like grating against one another from track to track. So I kind of had that in mind. And, you know, everyone listens to music differently. So this is just my experience. But yeah, like I got pretty fascinated with trying to make the colors work.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Have you ever come across any other synesthesia people who maybe have heard your music and sort of can see it as well?
Oh, like, there's tons of artists that listen to music and paint. And I reckon, you know, most people have some kind of, you know, wires crossed in their mind where, you know, something will remind you of something else, or one thing will make you feel a certain way about something totally, completely random.
Yeah.
I guess I've just, because I'm a songwriter, I've become aware of mine.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, I guess there's tons of people that's like that. It's just not a big talked about thing. It's not like it's a disability or anything. It's, if anything, it's great. Like, it helps me.
It's an enhancement, I think. It's like, you know, you're a step above the rest of the people who don't have it.
well, unfortunately, people can't see music, but maybe with the technology these days we can work on that.
Yeah, maybe. All right, well, you're about to launch off into your last solo tour for a while, I guess.
Yeah, this will be the last solo tour I do for all shows I do for a damn while, I reckon. So I'm just trying to like get this in before the Thunder's madness begins, and I'm really pumped about it because it's going to be like, I really like the people that I play with, and I love playing to, you know, people that come out and see me. There's always such like a real friendship vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
An intimate vibe with the solo shows. But, you know, that's the thing about being in two bands, I guess.
Well, you got to balance them around, I guess. But you're playing at the Manning Bar next Friday night, I believe it is.
That's right.
You can grab your tickets, tucker.net.au/shows. All the shows are listed there. And, yeah, get on down if you're in Sydney, anywhere around Australia, because you're playing all over the place. But make sure we catch Tucker's last solo shows for a while. And you've got some great support. Well, you've got Eka Vandal coming along, which I talked to her a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's pumped about that and coming. And if anyone's seen an Eka show, geez, she's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, it's really, I'm so stoked she's on the bill. I saw her at Newtown Social Club maybe a month ago now, and it was just crazy, like, yeah, so
that was
lit.
The one I was at, and there was just people just jumping around, like, from the start. It was hectic.
It was really hectic. It was dope.
It was amazing. And also, you've got Alpha Mama.
Alpha Mama is also on the national tour. She's playing the opening set, and then also she's helping me in my set to play keys and singing as well. So,
great.
Yeah, bit of a family affair.
That's very cool. So, yes, Tucker, live at Manning Bar next Friday. Thanks so much for chatting to us today here at 2SER.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.